Welcome to Early Days, the podcast where the seeds of innovation and entrepreneurship take root. It is proudly presented by Prowse Chown. We dive deep into the journeys of trailblazers who are shaping the future. And this future you're going to really, really like. I've been to this location. It's a goodie. David Owens, Sherbrooke Liquor, spirit curator, your collaborator, leader of Sherbrooke Liquor, a family-owned business. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How did Sherbrooke Liquor begin? Take us right back to the early days.
It opened when privatization started in Alberta by some other gentleman, and our family was starting a liquor delivery service, and so it was called Dial Auto Bottle, and it was, you know, we deliver to your door, your business or whatever. And as it went on, we were looking for a place that was kind of central in Edmonton that we could have our drivers go to at night when it was late, and we kind of knew what you're going to sell late at night. And so we ended up buying this location because it had a big cooler and the guy was trying to get out of the business. And so anyways, it turned out to be the better business. And here we are, you know, 20 some odd years later, kind of thing.
So is it the original location you're right now off the 118th?
That's correct, yeah.
Traffic circle? Yeah. So that was the original?
That's the original one, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Because I always found it so fascinating when someone said, have you ever been to Sherbrooke? Because the selection is out of this world. And the first time I walked in, I go, why is it here?
Because that's where we bought it. Yeah. And that was the name that it had. So we just stuck with that. It's the neighborhood. And
how does it evolve, though, from, because I'm sure, did you have initially that selection that you have now?
You know, not initially. But what really happened with it, I was on a different path to getting into Sherbrooke. And, you know, obviously the family business and so on. But it was my brother that operated it first. And my brother is a comic book geek and collector. And he started collecting beer. And essentially, you know, anything that was coming into the province that was a beer from somewhere unique and different, he would bring that in. And next thing you know, we've got this huge beer collection. We, you know, kicked off the craft beer movement in Canada, really.
And then how about for the spirits and the wine?
And then the spirits and wine, just, you know, it was just kind of a gradual, you know, piece as we went on with it. We kind of decided that, you know, we were going to be the place to go to that you're going to be able to find everything or anything. We always say, you know, if we can't find it, we'll get it for you. And if we can't get it for you, didn't want it anyways, right?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. But one thing also, if I could talk about, there must be a philosophy with your customer service, because when I'm in there, they know their stuff.
Yes, yes.
So that's got to be a real focus for you.
Customer service is absolutely. We are, you know, people ask me, you know, what do you do for a living? And it's, you know, I tell people that I'm there to elevate the human experience through service. And that's what we do at Sherbrooke, is elevate the human experience through service. It's not about being a liquor store, you know, which we are, but it is about taking care of the customer that's coming in. So I take care of my people. My people take care of the customer, and the customer takes care of our business. And it's just a nice little circle and keeps things going. And it's a really, you know, makes it easier to be part of a community and for, you know, my team members and I to understand just how much of a part, you know, the customer is in that journey to being a successful place to be.
So is it more than just family? How do you go when it's outside the family? Who are you looking for when you're looking for that special customer experience?
For my staff, you mean?
Yeah.
You know, funny, a lot of them just sort of come along with us. Really proud. We've got, you know, we kind of bounce between 30 to 35 people, you know, seasonal, you know, throughout the year. But more than half of our people have been with us for 8 years or longer. I think our longest serving person just celebrated the 15th anniversary with us. Several are that are at the 10-year mark. So, you know, they really are family. You know, and we call our staff, we don't call them staff, we actually call them partners. When I came in full-time to run Sherbrooke, we instituted a profit-sharing program that was designed to help us, you know, empower our partners to feel some ownership to it. But also with the rising costs of wages and things like that, it gets harder and harder. You can't just be giving out raises all the time without passing on something to a consumer along the way. And in our business, the margin is so small and tight anyways. And with some of the bigger companies that are out there that are driving the margin to the bottom all the time, it's that race to the bottom. It's hard for us to compensate and push that onto the customer. So this way, it allows our partners to work, understand that taking care of the customer is key. Helping to drive profitability in the business, which is going to then come back into their pocket.
So I love that. You call them partners. So do they have a say in, let's say, you, because you've curated some really, really amazing liquors. Yeah. They must have a say in that as well, I would imagine.
You know, everybody's got a say in everything in the store. You know, we encourage everyone to come and speak. And if they've got a great idea, if they've got something that's, you know, a cool idea for a tasting room or an interesting product they heard about, or they want to do a certain event kind of thing, or, you know, or you know, a charity they want to support, you know, they're allowed to come talk to us about anything. You know, if we move this here and move this here, we're going to have more efficiency here. They're allowed to do that. We want them to do that. And we have an anonymous place for them to do that also, if they're not fully comfortable, and sometimes people aren't. So we've got an anonymous online box that they can reach out to and put their ideas in. And I don't get to see who it is that put it in there, but I'm able to reply to them and so forth. And so that's a great tool for us as well.
There's so many with people that own a small business in that there's a frustration point that because they have to keep hiring, they're just filling the hole. But it seems like your goal is not to continue to fill that hole. It's to keep them, make them happy. So in turn, everyone wins.
Yeah, it's the hire, train, and retain model. You know, it gets really expensive when you're turning it all the time. So, and those that we do, like we do hire seasonally. And so when we do that, we're still looking for great, great people. And then we also let them know that, you know, if something does pop up or open, we'd love to have them back, you know, if they work out well for us. So we've got always somebody waiting in the wings as well. If somebody does move on, because, you know, they finally finish school and they're going on to their career, whatever it may be, you know, we do, you know, move through people at times, but for the most part, we're a pretty, pretty solid family.
You've got a pretty big, solid core. So you have your partners, you have the business, but then I also really see Sherbrooke supporting the community. So that's obviously another leg of your foundation of your philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the community is a huge, you know, is a huge part for us. They are, you know, we're from this community. It's a family owned business. We are, you know, grateful to everyone that comes and supports us. And so anytime we have the opportunity to support back, you know, we like to do that. So that work, and it's something that we're evolving as well. How we do it. You know, we used to kind of say yes to every single thing that's out there, which is great to an extent, but we're looking at trying to solidify that into some core partnerships these days to see if we can do, you know, bigger and better if in a more concentrated effort. Doesn't mean we're going to, you know, stop saying no to everybody or start saying no to everybody, but really the Sports Central is something that we've started to look into and be working with, and just that speaks to us as it's a kid focused piece. And as a young guy myself, I could have used a program like that. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, and so it's easy for us to get involved and be a part of that.
Is there one particular success story where you go, okay, that's the direction? So you talk about a sports center, mm-hmm. or let's talk maybe even events that you go, okay, that's something Sherbrooke should be involved in.
Like I said, it's usually involved with kids for the most part, and other community things. But one of the difficult pieces about being a liquor store is not everybody wants to be aligned. They're happy to have your support, but they're not. They don't want to be aligned with you because of that we're in the liquor business. So, you know, we do support a lot of things behind the scenes that we're just not privy to say and advertise that out. And we're really proud that we're able to do that and so forth. But it is nice to be able to support something that you can go out and be a face at and support, you know, personally all the time.
I know you've been recognized best bottle shops in the world.
True.
By Rate Beer, Retailer of the Year. Yeah. How do you blow your horn about those great accolades? That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's on the cooler door in our store. It says, you know, it has that piece. It is. It's a great piece. It's on our marketing and our website and things like that. And we just keep on trying to do that all the time. So it's, you know, I think we're every year that there's been the, you know, Alberta Retailer of the Year award, we won it every single time. I think we've shared it the last couple of times with the bottle shop in Calgary, but otherwise we're at 7 years in a row or something like that.
Would you ever, because your location is still so unassuming,
yes,
but it is also a great central location for people to come when they want those special beers. Have you ever thought about expansion?
Well, we have two locations now. We did expand a couple of years ago. That was a long time coming, and you know, an interesting, you know, path to get to that spot. And right now we are just finishing up our some branding refresh, which is going to lean into merging our website and our online store together. Currently, we have an online store and a website, which came out of COVID.
Okay.
And so we're now building, you know, a one-stop shop for all that stuff. And so that's will really be our third location, and an interesting place for people to come and be able to purchase outside of Alberta and outside of Edmonton and be a part of Sherbrooke.
So as a family-owned business, how many family members are all involved?
As of January, myself and my sister has some shares, and that's it.
Everybody else? Really? The original brother, he's out. Does he still have his comic books?
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah. We don't chat too much these days, but yeah, he's moved on to do some other things, and which you know he's great at, and my folks can now be retired and not worry about, you know, having money invested into this piece, and which is great for them. So
what do you think is the biggest challenge that if someone's watching and listening of a family owned business? Because it is hard.
Yeah. Personalities.
Yeah.
Personalities, different types of education, you know, or where the education came from. You know, different backgrounds that, you know, some people aren't necessarily business people, some people are. So there's a variety of things in there. So it's just really making sure that you know that this is family, this is business, and be able to separate those two out as best you can.
And you'd almost need a proper contracts because you never know, things can change within a relationship, right? Even if it's a family member.
Yeah.
Maybe more so in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think more so in a lot of ways. It's really important. I think in anything, it's important to have. I have just so many nightmare stories of people out there that I know personally and so on that trusted somebody and went into a business partnership or whatever with, you know, their best friend that are no longer best friends, and both of them, you know, lost tens of thousands of dollars or more. And it's, you know, anytime you're getting into any sort of agreement, no matter who they are, get it written down on paper, get a lawyer to look at it, invest the money in it. It's going to save friendships. It'll save families, all those things down.
The beverage industry itself.
Yes.
What have you seen of the biggest changes since you started Sherbrooke?
You know, well, obviously the craft beer piece just exploded, and you know, and it really you know, I like to say we started the craft beer movement in Canada, and then it really exploded in the US, and then we started to get a lot of product out of the US, and then Canada, and then finally Alberta changed some laws, and so it just went crazy there. So all of that, whiskey has gone through its phase, you know, vodka was a thing for a while, and it's, you know, back down again. Tequila is huge right now, but our, you know, number one growing segment is non-alcoholic products.
Fascinating. Yeah. Everybody and in the dry Januarys, dry February.
Dry forever now.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. It's a huge category for us and something that we invested in immediately. The very first non-alcoholic spirit that I found was Seed Lip. It's out of the UK. We had that brought in right away. And so now we've got the largest selection of non-alcoholic products in, probably in Alberta for sure.
Yeah. And did you feel that demand coming into the store? Were people asking for it, or were you just getting a societal,
you know,
feel?
A little bit of all three of those things. You know, we just sort of see it coming. It's an option for people. And there are those times where, you might not be abstaining from alcohol, but you need a break from it right now, or you've got another meeting tomorrow, but you want that. There's that social aspect of it still, that people go out to a place, everybody's got a drink, and then they have a soda or a water or something, and people are like, oh, why are you drinking water, why are you drinking this, you know, and so that pressure gets on there, and they don't want to go out. So this allows them to go out, have something, looks just like a cocktail, looks just like is a beer, whatever it may be.
Okay.
And the quality of product is just getting better and better all the time.
Yes, I definitely find that. Do you feel that's the biggest challenge for you as you're moving forward in the business? Because what's the margins on the non?
It's pretty similar.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. So, you know, that's always the challenge with us is just margins,
yeah.
Right? Always the challenge. And then, you know, alcohol and tobacco being the two major taxed items all the time, we not meaning to keep having our prices raised all the time, right? So that's a big challenge also. It's not as affordable. So we're finding a lot of people are drinking less, but they're drinking higher quality also.
Smart move.
Right?
Yeah. Life's too short to drink bad wine.
Drink bad wine. Bad beer, bad whiskey, anything.
It all falls under it.
Yeah.
Your legacy and impact, is that something that you think of?
Oh, sister, I was listening to another podcast about some of that just the other day, actually. Yeah, I think so. It's mostly I look at it in, you know, how's Sherbrooke been able to serve? And how have been able to serve our community, the people that work for us. You know, like I said before, I'm super proud we have, you know, 15 or so people have been with us for more than 10 years. Well, that's a career for them. The fact that we've been able to create careers for people at a liquor store. So I want you to think about that when you walk into some of these other big now brand places, you know, big brand places, you know, is that really that person's career in that place? Are they really earning enough money to be able to, you know, buy a car and then be in a, you know, buy a house and all those sorts of things? I think for me, that's the biggest piece, is being able to create something that's bigger than, you know, just us and help these people and watch the people, you know, around me grow. It's been amazing to see some of my people from 10 years ago to where they are today. And it's phenomenal. It's like, you know, proud papa.
Well, where did you get that philosophy of this partnership? Was it, are you born and raised Edmontonian?
Highly born and raised Edmontonian. Okay. Absolutely. My path to entrepreneurship is a little bit different. I'm a high school dropout, three times. So I tried really hard to be a great high school dropout. I did it three times. Third time lucky, I stayed out. I did a little traveling, did some landscaping. Started working at a pizza place. And then I helped my brother and my family get our Dial-Auto bottle up and running. And then I got an offer to open up my own pizza place. And so I did that. And I was 25 and feeling at the top of the world. The first thing I did was went and bought season's tickets for the Oilers. I couldn't afford it, but boy, oh boy, I sure thought I could, because I was a business owner, right? A high school dropout business owner. So anyways, that was a great lesson in bankruptcy after a few years, and all of a sudden I needed a job. And so I started working for Starbucks, actually. And I spent 12 years with Starbucks. And I was at Starbucks when Starbucks, I think, was at its real, real peak, the real great part of who Starbucks was, which was that people company serving coffee, not a coffee company serving people. And unfortunately today, I think they're a tech company serving coffee. And they have nothing to do with people anymore. But when I was there, it was all about the people. And I would, you know, come from this background of, you know, working for myself or working for other small business owners for so long that my idea of running a business was, you know, kind of do as I say. And that was that. Starbucks taught me how to deal with in a corporate world and start finding some of that empathetic leadership that's out there. And it was really hard. It was really, really hard. I got hired on as a barista. You know, coming from owning my own business to being hired as a barista for $8 an hour at the time or whatever it was. And I was like, I had $200 in my bank account and I needed to pay rent and put some food in my belly. So I took the job and ultimately ended up, you know, as a district manager with them and, you know, running 16 stores across Alberta. I think I opened just about every Starbucks in Edmonton for a while as a store manager. And really, Starbucks gave me my non-labeled MBA, essentially. And when I left them, which was the right time for me, and they were great, served me extremely well. I was able to move in when my brother was leaving Sherbrooke and take that over and transfer a lot of those lessons learned over to Sherbrooke. So the first thing first was getting a profit share program in place, getting a better benefits package for people. You know, getting actual job descriptions for people. There was nothing that was there. You know, my brother was great at building hype and building collections. He was fantastic at that. He just didn't have a lot of that background business piece. And so we had to put a lot of processes in place, and that took a long time to really perfectly nail it, which is also why we didn't open a second location for so long. Because without having those processes in place, and really ensuring that we can comfortably, support people in another location when I can't be in two places at once. So, but now we can, and it's been great.
And what's been the biggest benefit do you feel that with the two locations versus the one?
It's really great to see two groups of people, really different, come together, and which was what we were really worried about. Is how do you have the same team but in two locations? And so we've got this great team. They like to see each other, like to hang out. When we do meetings, we'll shut the store down and have everybody together somewhere. And so they all connect together. We use an app called Connect Teams, which has been transformational for us, that every single person in the company can be on Connect Teams and either private groups or in a one big group. And so there's the communication is just wide open. And I think that's, the best part of it is just being open in your communication with everybody.
That's so, so important. For someone that's watching this, listening, they're dreaming about starting their own business. Mm-hmm. What piece of advice would you, what do you think is the biggest thing they got to think about?
Capital these days.
Hey,
yeah. Right. Yeah. I think, what is it that you want to accomplish with that business? Really think long and hard about that. It's because, setting that, I think it's important to set that path, right off the bat with whatever that may be. And, and really it should, thinking about it being a part of you, I think is really important as well. If you don't actually, put your core values into that business, is it really the right business for you? Can you really stand by something that's not who you are inside? So I think really thinking hard about how you're going to translate those things into that business.
Yeah. You can't just say, okay, I want to make a living. I want to make money. That's empty.
Yeah. Yeah. But how are you going to live your core values in that business of whatever it may be, whether it's, this business here or my business or whatever it may be.
Well, David Owens of Sherbrooke Liquor, thank you for taking the time and thank you for having such a great selection.
Well, our pleasure. We keep working at it. So it's something new all the time, every day. It blows my mind.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for joining us on Early Days. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Prowse Chown. In this world of entrepreneurship, the right support is invaluable. Prowse Chown's array of services, from resolving legal disputes to ensuring your business is legally sound, means they stand ready to assist you at every step of your journey. And what a journey it's been for Sherbrooke Liquor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This series is proudly produced by the team at Road 55. Road 55 creates content that connects. For more information, check our website, www.road55.ca.